Here's what the Lord spoke to me in my time of prayer. He said, America, your way of life is failing. What you promised to provide as a utopia dream has turned into a nightmare. System failure. You're broken and you can't find the answers to fix it. You rely on the flesh. You reject my provision and you look to the gods who are no gods at all for relief. System failure. You're broken beyond repair, but you don't realize it. You're numb to the reality by your partying and surfeiting. Drunkenness has blinded you to reality. You're in a stupor, brought on by your witchcraft, an enchantment of demon power. My church dresses in drag, denying the divinity of my strength and confused about the power of my cross and resurrection. She is polluted and dirty, yet I have a plan of restoration for her. The pressure of the coming days will cleanse her as she runs to me for safety. In my house are many mansions, and for those who refuse to forsake me, I have prepared a place for you. And those of you that deal with computers, you understand that the definition truly means of a failure of a hardware or some type of malfunction in your computer. You get the green screen. Is anybody here? The screen of death where you would like to put a slug in it or a bullet, whatever, because you can't fix it unless you have somebody brighter than you or you have to replace it. So system failure, we understand that. We comprehend that. You don't have to be a computer person to recognize and realize the failures that are around us. I want you to go to Jeremiah chapter 7. That's where he took me, to Jeremiah chapter 7. We're going to preach this thing this morning with no compromise. If that's okay, can I just tell it like it T.I. is? Like it is? I think we need that today in the body of Christ. We need some pastors that have a backbone. We need some folks that know how to hear the word of God and not get offended when words like repent come their way. You would not believe how many people get offended when you talk about repenting. And I'm talking about church folk. The sinner knows he's got to repent, but the church folk, they don't want to admit it. Well, I go to church, preacher. So does the devil. And he don't repent either. Is anybody here today? I'm giving you a chance to find Jeremiah because you ain't been there in a little while. Jeremiah chapter 7. Are you there? Watch this. System failure. Now, Israel, Judah is in a tremendous problem because they have rejected God. They're at a system failure. Let me just get this thing straight before we get moving here. They were in a system failure. Everything that they had set up was falling apart. The government was falling apart. The religious system was falling apart. Their relationship with God had already fallen apart. And the whole system in which God had established had failed because they didn't follow the original plan of God. And because they didn't follow the original plan of God, God said, I'm going to correct you and I'm going to bring you into a place of judgment and a place of discipline because you would not listen to my instructions. And so Judah now is in the midst of a prophetic onslaught, a tsunami, if you will, of prophetic reality. And let's begin in Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 1. The word that came to Jeremiah from headquarters, from the bishop. No, it came from the Lord. I said the word came from who? The Lord. It amazes me. I can't help this. I've got to preach this for just a minute. But it amazes me how many churches today have pastors who do not hear from God. They do not hear from God. They can preach about God. They can sing about God. They can set up a whole circus called a church service about God. But they don't know God. They don't hear God. They don't pray to God. They don't study. They don't fast. They don't spend time in His presence. They can preach about God in the Word of God, but they don't know the God of the Word. They don't know the Holy Ghost. They don't know the movings of the Spirit of God. They don't know when to speak up, and they don't know when to shut up. Is anybody here today? They don't know how to move in. They don't know how to move out. They don't know how to do, and they don't know how to don't do. Is anybody here? Because they don't spend time with the Holy Ghost. I would tell you something, those that are watching me, listening to me, those that are the curious listeners on radio and other places who just don't really want to tell everybody that you're a part of this church. You know, the secret ones. And you go to another church, I want you to go to your pastor and ask him in the most politest way, how much time do you spend with God, sir? How much time do you spend in prayer and fasting? Sir, how much do you spend quietly listening to the voice of God? Sir, I'd like to know, do you spend time with God before the service so you can hear from God? Sir, I would like to know if you are led by the Holy Ghost and your messages are led by God, or do you get your messages, come on somebody, from a Hallmark card or from Walmart or from some other place or for some bishop or for some headquarters or some red back hymnal? Right. Listen to me now. With all sincerity and kindness, ask these questions, and if you don't hear the proper answer, I would run from that place. I would get out of that place because you're not getting what you need from the Spirit of God. You're not hearing the words of the Lord now. Is anybody here today? And there's power in now. There's power in the now word. There's power in a relationship that is current. This is the problem with the institution of the church in America. We're not current with God. We're trendy with the world, and we're full of culture with the world, but we're not in step with God. We're not in tune with Him because we don't know Him. We know about the Bible. There's people that can quote Scripture back and forth from cover to cover. That's cover to cover, if you don't know what that means, all the way from Malachi to Job, or Job to Malachi, however you look at it, the old preacher used to say. They can tell you all about the Bible, but they don't know what God is thinking, what God is feeling. They don't know what He's up to in the coming days and what He wants to do with the church because they're out of step with God. It's a system failure. Now, some people get mad at me and say, how arrogant you would be. But, honey, let me tell you something. If I were sitting where you are sitting, I would ask my pastor those very words. I would want to know. But, see, people are more worried about nickels than noses and worried about what we're going to do next with the committee and when we're going to eat again. Come on now. Then challenging the pastor spiritually. I'm going to tell you something. I don't know why I'm doing this, but most church committees are more worried about the budget and more worried about what the pastor does with the money than what he's doing spiritually with their lives, which is eternal, which proves to me it ain't nothing more than a club and an organization. It ain't no different than Amway, come on somebody, or some type of organization or some type of club that deals with people hanging out with one another. It's the truth. And people don't want to hear this. And I may be blowing the sound waves away and freaking folks out and maybe making your hairdo messed up. But I'm telling you, it's a fact. And we need to start bringing the churches to a place of responsibility. And the way you bring us to a place of responsibility is you begin with the man behind the pulpit. You begin with the leadership of the church and bring them accountability to God and what they're doing spiritually. Come on now, if your pastor is spending more time on the boat or on the golf course or the shooting range or looking for Bambi, ain't nothing wrong looking for Bambi now. Better have some horns on them, though. If they're spending more time doing all these things out there fishing, spending more time with mama, spending more time doing all the things that they do in life, we got a problem in the house of God. And I don't care how many folks they have in the house. That don't mean anything. It don't mean anything. Playboy's got a lot of subscribers too. See, brain dead. Folks, there's brain dead. It's the reality of what's happening in the church today. And people, they don't want to challenge the house of God. They don't want to challenge what's happening, not in the realm spiritually. They want to challenge what's happening physically. I don't like that carpet, Pastor. That ought not be the color. Well, that nursery looks awful. You know what I'm talking about. They get in fights. They get in arguments and elders meetings and deacon meetings and board meetings fighting over this and what type of petunias belong in the front yard. Instead of asking the pastor, you been on your face lately? Have you sucked some carpet up lately? Have you spent some time in the presence of an almighty God and just shut your mouth and let God talk to you? Are you listening to people on TBN and CBN and all these other Christian organizations in order for you to get some type of message that you can be as popular as Big Shot is? Is anybody, God doesn't need somebody to act like somebody else. To imitate him. He doesn't need that. He needs you to be original. And the only way to be original is to get into his presence and let him develop you. Preacher, let him develop you. We let our schools and universities and seminaries develop our pastors. You look just like them. You're just as stinky as they are. Oh, you can preach. You're eloquent. You can say all these wonderful words and long words I can't even pronounce. But you don't know God. I'm feeling good this morning. Is that all right? It must be the weather. No, it's the Holy Ghost. I said it's the Holy Ghost. We got a system failure in the church. We got a system failure in the house of God, and it begins with the person in control. It begins with the person that's operating the whole thing, and that's the man and woman of God. I feel good today. Where was I? Verse 1, Jeremiah chapter 7. The word that came to Jeremiah. It came to Jeremiah. How did it come to Jeremiah? He was waiting on it. I'm about to run around this place. He was waiting on the word. It came to him. Jeremiah didn't go running for it. It came. He was waiting where he belonged. He was sitting in that place as a watchman. Oh, my God. He was sitting as a watchman. He was waiting on the Lord. Lord, what do you want me to say to this perverse, crooked generation? What do you want me to say to these backslidden folk? What do you want me to say to your people that are precious, the remnant? What do you want me to say to the household of God? I'm waiting on you, Lord. I'm waiting on you. We need that today. We need it today. That's what intercessory prayer does. It makes you wait on the Lord. We need some more intercessors in the house of God praying for our pastors. I'm not giving up on pastors because I said what I said. I'm bringing you to correction. But we need some people in the house of God to pray for our leaders. Pray that they would get in the face of God again and they would seek God. I'm not telling you to talk about them and have a seance after service over them. What I'm talking about is to pray and confront them if you need to and challenge them in love and say, Pastor, I'm praying that you spend more time with God. Whatever you need to do, Pastor, I got to hear from the Lord. I need you to hear from God. My family needs to hear from God. I know you have a connection. You are a pastor. You are a leader, and we are to be a conduit of heaven. I'm ashamed sometimes of these preachers today who just preach pablum, just baby talk, just stuff, instead of hearing from the almighty God, from the very throne of a God, and say, God, what are you saying to a generation that's terminal? Verse 1. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, stand in the gate of the Lord's house. Now notice this, that God is sending Jeremiah to where? Not the White House. He's not clamoring to get around the king and all of the princes and all the people of power. He said, waited upon the Lord. The Lord said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to take this word, and I want you to go to the gates. I want you to go to the house of the Lord. I believe the rise and the fall of any nation begins in the house of the Lord. Let me say that again. I believe the rise and the fall of any nation begins in the house of the Lord. The rise and the fall of any economy and anything that does good or evil in a nation begins with the pulpits of America, not Washington, not a politician. And the Church of Jesus Christ has put too much trust in politicians rather than preachers. And I understand why they have, because you can't find a preacher you can trust. So you go to someone more crooked, which is a politician. Is anybody in the house today? The man or a woman of God has the highest office in the land. It's not the President of the United States of America, though we honor that position and we do it very well. But the greatest position is a man or a woman of God that hears from God Almighty and can speak, thus saith the Lord, in the house of God. Because if we had thundering prophets again who did that, then the people of God who heard the words of the Lord would shake and quake under the power of conviction and go out and change their community and their neighborhood. And thus changed the nation, not from the top down from political wrangling and legislation, but from prophetic truth that comes from the lowest of all servants, which is the apostles and the prophets of God. I wish I had somebody here to help me. And Paul said it, the least. I don't have time to unpack that. Stand in the gate of the Lord's house and take some photographs. Talk about your latest book. Your new wife. Number three, number four, number five. No, he said, I want you to go to the Lord's house. And I want you to proclaim. Watch this. What's it say? Let me look at my English. This word. What word? This word that I'm about to give you. Not a word, not that word, not somebody else's word, not Bishop so-and-so's word, not the word that came from headquarters. Come on, somebody. Not some word that came from a quarterly magazine, not some word that came from a non-denominational mega pastor. Whatever that means. Independent pastor, guy on television, dude. I want you to take this word that I'm going to tell you, Jeremiah. You're going to go. Jeremiah, you ain't going to do what you want to do, son. Jeremiah, let me just get something straight with you. Jeremiah, you're going to listen to me, and I'm going to tell you what to do. And when I'm going to tell you what to do, you're going to go do what I told you to do. And you're going to say what I told you to say. See, Jeremiah was disciplined. You got to understand this. Jeremiah was disciplined. He wanted to hear the word of the Lord. He wanted to obey the word of the Lord. The Church of Jesus Christ believes the gospel and the prophetic word is optional. Baby, you don't get an option. Oh, you can decide not to do it, but your option would be wrong. The truth of the matter is, if I'm a disciplined follower of Jesus Christ, I don't get an option. In fact, I don't want an option. I want to serve him to the fullness. I want to burn this thing up. I want to burn this life out. I want to do everything I can for Christ while I can, while I have the breath of my mouth, while I have the strength of my life and the youth of my days. Somebody say amen. Because you ain't getting any younger or better looking. Somebody ought to say amen to that. Proclaim this word and say, hear the word of the Lord. This isn't optional. The word hear, it means to obey and to listen. Shamar, I want you to hear and obey. Do you understand how powerful this is? He's not coming up here. See, preachers get up here and they have an optional message. Oh, praise the Lord, everybody. Good to see you today. God is good. Amen. Well, you know, if you just serve him, he's going to bless you and take care of you. Just follow the rules of the Bible. Amen. And it's optional. You really leave the place thinking, oh, yeah, well, you know, God's full of grace. So if I, you know, if I just drink a 12-pack, you know, it's better than a case. Yeah. Come on, somebody. You know, a little bit of herb. Come on, it's from the field. It's from the ground. God, you know, he created it. I'm not doing heroin. Is anybody here today? Just a little bit of wine, just a little bit of this. Oh, it's all going to be fine. It's good. It's optional. Instead of having the absolutes, and then our children rise up, they raise up, they're grown up with the atmosphere in the home that there's no fear of the Lord. There's no fear. There's no retribution. There's no recompense of reward for what they do wrong. It's optional. Did God really mean? Come on, Eve. Did God really mean? Did God really say? Wasn't that the fooling of Eve? Wasn't that the deception thereof? And that's exactly the same thing that happens in our churches, and our pastors are saying the very same thing. Did God really say? Yeah, God did. Come on, everybody. We need to get a backbone in the church. And the reason why we don't have preachers like this to say the things that I say is because the people in the church ain't got no backbone. They get all ruffled up and hurt and got their feelings on the end of their sleeves. Oh, he's so mean. I'm the most lovable person in the room. Believe me, I said it.
You'll catch that later.
Come on, somebody. But I know that what God says for you and I is good for us, and we must stick to the truth and the reality of it. Without holiness, no man shall see God. And now we've called holiness a cuss word. It's not, you don't talk about holiness because everybody's different, and consecration and separation and sanctification, all that stuff doesn't really matter because, see, it's optional. It's not optional. Be holy as I am holy. What's wrong with that? That means keep yourself clean. Keep yourself separated. Do the best you can. And if you fall in the muddy waters of the world, get back up and say, God, wash me with the water of your word. Forgive me what I've done, the thoughts, the things I've done. Father, forgive me. I don't want to be that way. I made a mistake, and I turn, and I repent, and 360, and I'm back in the road of righteousness again. Is anybody here? But we won't teach that no more because it seems to be repetitive. I don't care if you came to the altar every single Sunday and tied yourself to the horns of the altar and I laid hands on you every single time. It doesn't make a difference to me. I'd rather have that in my church than have somebody that thinks they're so holy in righteousness when they're going to split hell wide open because of sin. I'm not talking about mistakes. I'm not talking about things you do that happen in life. We're talking about habitual rebellion in the face of God. He sees it. He's fully aware of it, and he will deal with it. We can't find preachers like Jeremiah. Watch this. What? I feel like starting all over again. Proclaim this word and say, hear the word of the Lord. Again, it's not optional. He's not giving them an option. He's saying, listen, you got to hear this. And ye of Judah, that all ye of Judah, that you enter in these gates that worship the Lord. He says, everybody that comes in the house, I want you to hear these words. Going back to my original statement about preachers and getting a word from God, man, that's the way it ought to be. We ought to be so energized when we come into the house of God that we get to hear something from God. What's God going to say today? What's he going to say today? Not just through the preacher, but through the songs. What's he going to say to me in the sanctuary as I lift my hands because this place is sanctified? Come on, we weren't having karaoke here last night. We didn't play bingo here the other day. Is anybody here? We don't have all kinds of craziness going on in the house of God. It's consecrated unto him. And then you come to the house of God and say, God, I want to hear your voice. I want to know what you're saying. Speak to me, Father God. Anoint the man of God in order that he speaks to me that I would hear the voice of the Lord. And then teach me how to hear as well. He said, I want you to go in these gates. To everybody there, just tell them the word of the Lord. Verse 3, watch this. You got to remember there are seven gates, but this is one particular gate. Here's what he said. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel. Notice how he's still claiming them as his, and he's telling them who he is. He is the God of Israel. amend your ways. Are you ready? It means to dwell and to fix it. It means to dwell and to fix it, amend it, get it right. This is the message of the hour. This is the message that I'm preaching to the Church of Jesus Christ in America and around the world. Fix it. System failure, fix it. Fix it. Get it right. Get your prayer life right. Get your Bible reading life right. Get your thinking right. Get out of the political mudslinging and all the craziness of the sewage that's happening right now. It amazes me how more Christians talk about politics than they do about Christ and the prophetic events and the hour that we're living in. We're trying to preserve our lives rather than lose our lives. We need to lose our lives in Christ and not worry about all this other craziness that's going on around us. I didn't say disengage. I said just don't make it a habit of your life. That's all you think about. If you don't believe me, just go to some of these local businesses where you sit down and eat and all you hear is politics. Besides football. Well, I'm not going to mention local teams. I'm just telling you. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your doings. Fix it. Get it right. See, we got people, I'm telling you, when you hear people that get up and they prophesy about rapture and this, all that, we're getting out of here and greater days are coming. Man, I can't wait to 24. I can't wait to the midterms. I can't wait till somebody dies in office. Come on, somebody. I can't wait for this. I can't wait for that. And this guy goes to prison and this girl goes to prison and whatever. We're going to finally have all these different things. Honey, the message of the hour is to fix it. Fix it. Fix it now. You fix it. Church, you fix it. You get your doctrine straight. You get your heart right with God. Nobody's going to come in and save this country. Nobody's going to come in and save folks. You got to fix it yourself. You got to fix your family. Fix it. Get it right. Say, how do I fix my family, man? Well, you begin to fix yourself first. You let the Holy Ghost fix you up. You let the Holy Ghost come on in. I dare you. I challenge you to do this. I challenge you to stand before God in your prayer time and say, Father, fix me. I'm broken. Fix me. I don't even know what's messed up. I can't see the plumbing. I can't see the electrical wires. I can't see some of the things that are hidden in my life. I don't know what's going on completely in my mind and in my heart, but fix it. I dare you. I challenge you in a loving way. I challenge everybody watching and listening. Just stand before an almighty God and say, fix it, Lord. I'm broken. I'm broken, God. I'll admit to you where I'm broken. I got a dirty mind. I got a dirty mouth. I got a dirty heart. I got dirty hands. My feet are dirty. God, I'm dirty. Fix me. Cleanse me. Wash me. See, we won't do that anymore. We don't challenge the church anymore. We can't find Jeremiah's anymore. We can't find prophets, prophetic preachers and teachers and lovers of the men's souls anymore to call out truth. We just won't do it. We think it offends them. I don't care if it offends you or not. The truth will offend you. I love you. And I don't know how many times I got to tell you I love you. I just love you. But I'm not going to let you go into, first of all, I'm not going to let you get into heaven wobbling and stumbling in there. I want you to get there standing straight up so you can fall down in front of Christ and give him all your crowns. Is anybody here? I want you to be able to go and present to him something. I don't care if you bring a little ring. Just give him something. More than a Burger King crown. Because you ate every Whopper in town. Is anybody here? I ain't got much to give you, Jesus, but here I am. Being my belly full of whoppers. Come on, somebody. Lord, here I am. I brought a nation to you. I brought Nigeria to you. I did everything I could, Jesus, to see them get saved over there in Cuba. I did everything I could to sow into the missions work. I did everything I could to help the translators translate the Bible that has yet to be translated in thousands of languages. Did you know that? If you go to Ignited Church, you know that. You go to some dead, big box, whatever church, whatever burger church, you won't know those things because it's not important. Well, who cares about them over there in wherever land? I care because God cares. And God blessed this nation for us to reach the world. He blessed us. We've got so much, and we're so selfish. It's the truth. It's the truth. You haven't seen data lately. You haven't seen surveys lately. We used to be able to be called a giving church in America, but we're not as giving as we used to be, and we sure are not going like we used to. You afraid somebody gonna kill you. So what? See, that's just too much. I need to lighten it up and be fluffy over here, be Mr. Nice Guy. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your doings. Watch what he says here, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. Can I give you a better translation than King James? It's not to cause you, it's to let you. That's the proper translation. I will let you stay. See, it's not optional. I will let you stay. Well, I'm just going to stay here no matter what. I'm just going to stay. It doesn't matter. God accepts me the way I am. I come into church when I come into church. I get to church when I want to get to church. Whether I have a hangnail or not or a headache, I'm just not, you know, God loves me just the way I am. I'm fine. I say the Lord's Prayer during my lunch and my breakfast and my dinner and all my snacks and stuff like that. And I say, oh, my God, if I get almost in an accident, I see Jesus when I'm mad. See, I'm in this, man. See, y'all know I'm telling you the truth. Cuss like a sailor, you the Lord's name in vain, and say they called upon his name. And then say they go to church. And they're the pastor. I will let you dwell in this place. Listen to the severity of what Jeremiah is saying. And people say, well, that's just then. I'm telling you what God is saying now. He will let us stay in this place, this pattern, this path of righteousness and blessings. He'll let the church, the remnant, stay in his glory and his goodness and supply all of our needs. He will let us if we fix it. But you got to fix it. You got to recognize and realize that you need a physician. One of my prayers before I come in the services, I say, Lord, help me show those who know they need a physician and those that don't think they need a physician. Help me show them truth. Because you're deceived and you're in opposition to yourself, in opposition with God. I have no need. I'm warm. I'm filled. I have luxury. No, you're miserable. You're poor. You're naked. The worst deception to ever have is self-deception. That's why you have a mirror. There's a reason why you don't feel too lovely when you wake up, because you don't look it. Now, I know a few of you are so beautiful, so handsome, when you get up, you don't need a toothbrush or a comb. But some of us, when we wake up, it's better to go back to bed than to look at what we're looking at. You perfect thing, you. Watch what he says here. I'm going to let you dwell in this place. We don't understand the honor of Christianity. We don't understand the honor, because when we come into the house of God, we come in with the wrong honor or with the wrong understanding. We're like, you ought to be glad I came here today, God. You better be glad, preacher man, I got here because I had stuff to do. I woke up on the wrong side of the bed. I don't even want to be here. I'm already saved. I don't need to hear your mouth yelling at me and spitting and hollering and bucking and all the things you do up there. I don't need this. I could be watching The Price is Right. Are you? Instead of coming in with the honor and saying, thank God Almighty, I'm not in a wheelchair to get in this room. Thank God Almighty, I'm not hooked up to oxygen. Thank God Almighty that I'm allowed to come in here by the freedom of God and don't have no police escort or no guards sitting out front or no censorship inside of the building. Thank God Almighty, I'm free today to give my money that I've got in my account. I can give as I will. He let me come in this place today. That's why I'm so grateful for my salvation. I'm allowed to be here today. I'm allowed to preach. instead of being silent. I got my vocal cords. Somebody say, praise God for that. Don't need this microphone. I can holler. Because God did it. He let me in this place. I don't belong in this place. I should be in the grave. I should have been in hell. And those of you that have been through hell and back like I have, you know what I'm talking about. That's why Jesus could describe the person who's gone through much sin, loves much. I love him today. He let me live when I should have been dead. When my breath was taken from me, he gave me breath, gave me new life. How can I go and become petrified over the years, as a lot of Christians do, and act like God ain't never done anything for you? I don't understand you. You must not have a firebrand of a preacher to keep you lit up. You must not have a relationship with God that's current. You must not be by the fiery altar of God. That's all I can tell you. You're a dead old coal, a lump of coal. Now, you know I'm not talking to none of you all in here or anybody listening to me. I'm talking about the other guy. Isn't that what we say? He's got to be somebody else. Surely that preacher ain't talking to me, though I'm convicted in my heart. He must be talking about somebody else because I'm on a committee. I'm on the building program. Fix it. Fix your building first. Fix your house, lest it fall. I'm trying to get through these verses, but it is not working. I will let you dwell in this place. God, thank you. You understand that? Thank you, God. It's an honor to be in your house. It's an honor that we can be in this place today with air conditioning. We have lights on. Well, it's America. Come on, man. Get off of that junk we're on. Get off your high horse, America. Look outside your window and look at people that don't have what you have today. Think about the suffering that's going on and then rejoice that God let you live in this land and then give back out of a joyful heart to those that don't, that maybe they'll have a piece of your happiness and joy that comes from God. I know people right now, listen to me, church, I know people right now that would lay their lives down for the gospel, would lay it down, would die, would leave their families, that would leave their stuff and everything they ever worked for the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we can't find people to live in America for the gospel of Jesus Christ. They would die for it, but you won't even live for it. You ought to be ashamed. America ought to be ashamed. We have a system failure. And you think this is too strong? I ain't strong enough. God, anoint me to be stronger. Anoint me to break off more of the chains and the cemented minds of callousness and the crevices of the minds of men in America. Help me to be a hammer. Let your word be that hammer so lives could be changed. You think I'm doing this for myself? Verse 4. Trust you not in lying words. America, you need to hear this. We have a system failure of trust. We have a system failure in words that are lying words, of deceptive words. We have a system failure that we don't trust the Bible anymore. The reason we don't trust the Bible anymore is because we don't have trustworthy preachers of the Bible that not only preach but live it. Come on now, live holiness. Ain't flirting around with the other sex or sexes. We should say it that way now. Let's keep it straight. Let me just go. I'm about to say something. Trust you not in lying words, saying, watch this, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these. Here they were touting, just coming in the face of God and first of all, prideful, and then looking at God saying, what you going to do, taunting him? You can't do anything because this is the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. We're the church. We're the church of America. We're big, bad, and strong. No, you're poor, miserable, naked. You have the ability to be big, bad, and strong in God, but you won't, and you let your armor down. You let the power of the divinity of God and the strength of who God is, you let all the divineness and the holiness of God, you let it depart the house of God, and now you're walking in flesh. I need a week. We all just have a revival right now, camp meeting right now. I need a week to preach this thing. I'm not going to get through, but I'm going to do the best I can. The temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. We have the church. We're the church. We got a mega church. We got a big church. We got a big steeple. We got a lot of people. Our pastor has been to Princeton and Harvard and Yale. He's edumacated. He's smart. He says big Bible words, big. He's a brainiac. No, he's a maniac. No, big deal. So what? Who cares? Walmart's big too. Walmart's got people. They got a big sign out front, and they have ATMs like some churches do. So what? Next, we're going to have a salon in the church, and you can get your hair cut after service. And your nails done during service. Wouldn't that be good, Judy? You could get your nails done. Pedicure, while you're working on your pedigree. I mean, come on, somebody. That's where it's headed. And if we're real smart, we'll have a car wash when you come through real quick. Make a couple extra bucks for the orphans that never see the money as they make shoes for the church in a faraway country. Well, you got to keep the airtime going. You got to pay for the stuff. You'll think I've lost my mind. But this is exactly the attitude they had. Oh, the temple, the temple, the temple. What they were referring to was 2 Kings 18 and 19, where they were delivered miraculously from the enemy in a war. And they put it before God and before the people, the prophets did, saying, see, God delivered us before. He is going to deliver us again. Reminds me of an old Karen Wheaton song. He'll do it again. Boy, that probably sounded as bad as it sounded. Said, I'm trying to lighten you all up because you're getting mad. He's going to do it again. And the other thing was the reason why they said it is because, look, the temple's here. The temple's here. God's not going to destroy us. We have CBN. We have TBN. We have Charisma Magazine. We have Christian Post. We have this Christian and that Christian. And I'm not making fun of any of those outlets. I'm just telling you that's what we think in America. We've got mega churches. We've got Joel Osteen. God can't destroy us. He can't deal with us. He can't correct us. He can't judge us. He can't discipline us. We have the iBible. There's an app for it. God can't kill us. God has no reason to deal with the church. We've got the Bible on video. See, we use all these different excuses, Christian excuses, to try to tell God how he can be. We tell him he can't be sovereign according to the word in which he locked himself into. He's not outside of this. No. He locked himself into the word. Now, there are parameters of God we yet to know, and we'll see that in heaven, right? Because the Bible declares what? It has not entered into mind, the man of mind, his eyes. We haven't seen the totality of God. We only know in part. We prophesy in part, and we see through a glass darkly. So we don't know the totality of God. So even John, the revelator, he got sick. Come on now. By eating the word, consuming the word, and seeing just a portion of the reality of God. So God is not going to display himself in totality, but he has locked himself in understandability in this word for us now.
That's what makes heaven so joyous and so wonderful and makes us preachers seem so inadequate when we try to declare the glory of God, because how do you declare something that's so unspeakable and full of glory? You can only use the word. And so God has chosen to lock himself in this word. And so we must understand and see the revelation of him through unlocking this word. Watch this. The temple of the Lord. And then they come to this place. They say, well, it's all about what we've done in Christianity. It's all of what we've done and how we've built this kingdom of God. Or better yet, the American Gospel Enterprise Incorporated. LLC. Instead of the sovereignty of an almighty God revealed in that word you're holding in your lap. America, you have it wrong. It's a system failure. We failed at the very system of God. I got to prove it to you here, because you're looking at me like a calf staring at a new gate. Watch this. Verse 5. For if you will thoroughly amend your ways. Now, I want you to see verse 5 says if, right? Why don't you circle that? You can do that in your Bible if you like to. For if you thoroughly amend your ways and your doings. In other words, fix it. What does he say again? If, you want to circle that. If you thoroughly execute judgment between a man and his neighbor. Verse 6, circle this one. If you oppress not the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, and shed not innocent blood in this place, neither walk after other gods to your hurt. He's saying, I will bless you. We can fix this whole thing. We can get back on the right track. I'm not talking about a country. I'm talking about a people. I'm talking about a church. I'm talking about fixing the system that's in failure mode right now. Amend your ways. Get this thing right. If you do it. See, it's up to you. Watch. Then will I cause you or let you to dwell in this place. In other words, there's no option. If sounds like an option, but the reality is to be let in or to stay in a place, there's no other option than the rules by which he gave you to stay in that place. In other words, if you sign a mortgage bill or a lease for a rental, you don't do what you want to do and pay when you want to pay as much as you think you ought to pay on the day you think you feel good to pay. Try that and find yourself in the front yard with your stuff from China. 99% of what you and I own is from China, except our children that we know of. Is it anybody here? Why? Because there's a standard. There's a rule. There's a procedure. There is a system by which you must follow. Well, I'm Mr. Big Shot, and I got all the money I need. I done paid my house off. Well, don't pay your taxes on the scheduled time and the scheduled fee of your taxes, and find out how fast it goes up on the courthouse steps. I got to move on. Then what I cause you or let you to dwell in this place and the land that I've gave to your fathers forever and ever. And behold, you trust in lying words that cannot profit. Will you steal, murder, and commit adultery and swear falsely and burn incense unto Baal and walk after other gods whom you know not and come out and stand before me in this house? Listen to what he's saying. You go out and sin. You go do what you want to do. You've got a system failure in your life. And then come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered to do these things, these abominations. Did you know what he just said? He said, you go out and you do your sins. Then you come in the house and you get your conscience fixed for just a little bit, like a drug addict. You feel good because you threw a few bucks into the bucket, may even paid your tithe, may even gave above your tithe, gave an offering to the little widows and little orphans and all the poor people in the world. And then you go back out and sin even the more because you feel justified by what you did by being in the house of God. That is the case for many Christians in the house of God in America today. Live like the devil and come in and act like you're an angel on Sunday morning. I'm talking to preachers too. That's some of the biggest devils is a preacher because he's got all this to hide behind. He got the suit and the microphone and the big mouth. I'm telling you. Can fool anybody. Because they don't have no discernment. Nobody asks the hard questions. You praying? You spending time with God? You fasting? When you going to the mountain of God, preacher? I didn't say the mountains to go place golf or do something you do. When you going to the mountain of God? Hey, pastor, we decided, you know, I'm talking to the hirelings, the ones that get hired. Pastor, in the contract before we bring you on here, we want you to take off certain times of the year to go to the mountain of God. That's required of you, sir. We'll pay for it. We'll make sure you got a place. Oh, yeah, the place won't have cable TV, by the way. There's no internet. You go on the mountain of God, not Club Med. Some undisclosed location where you and your wife can hang out and plan a family. Y'all catch that later. Just got to be careful. I will let you dwell in this place. Behold, you trust in lying words. He said, then you steal, you murder. Verse 10, you come and you stand before me. Verse 11, is this house which is called by my name a den of robbers in your eyes? Do you really have that kind of disdain for the house of God? The answer to many is yes. I have no loyalty to the house of God, no honor, no respect to the house of God. I'm here because I have to be. Here. I have to be here. I'm told to be here, or I got friends that go here, or I just need to go to church. What is it to you? What is the house of God to you? Is it a place of refuge? Is it a place of safety? Is it a place of sanctity? A place where you can get a word from God? What is it to you? I know what it is to me. It's my everything. I must be in the house of God. I was glad when they said to me, let's go into the house of God. I came running to the house of God. Oh, I don't like everything about the house of God. Don't get me wrong. You know why? Because there's people in there. Help me, church. But I learned to love people. I learned to like people. I learned to deal with people. And I am doing it to please my Father and to be in the presence of my God. Now, it don't have to always be four walls, but you get the point of being in the presence of an almighty God. I want a tabernacle with you, Jesus. I want to be with you. Those on live stream know what I'm talking about. Can't find a place to find a good shepherd. So you do it the way you do it, and that's acceptable. But the point is, how do we look at the kingdom of God? How do we look at the relationship of God, the structure of God? He told them, you look at it as a robber, a thief. And I let you come in this place. I let you abide in my presence. Behold, I have seen it, saith the Lord. But go you now into my place, which was in Shiloh. Watch this, I'm closing in the next 2 days. Which is in Shiloh, and there, that's where I set my name at first, and see what I did to it for the wickedness of my people, Israel. What did he do there? He judged them. He judged them and destroyed it because of what? Sin. The place of the tabernacle, the place of the beginning of the presence of God. It happened when? It happened with Eli and Samuel. It happened whenever the Ark of the Covenant was taken by the Philistines. You remember the story? The Ark has been taken. The glory has departed. Ichabod has written over the house of God. His presence has left many, many, many churches. Many churches. And at that time, Shiloh was to Israel what the tabernacle was to them. The temple was to Jerusalem. In other words, there was a comparison. The tabernacle was in Shiloh, and the temple is in Jerusalem. And Lord, you're going to do the same thing. You're going to protect us and provide and all these things. And God says, no, no, go back to Shiloh and see what I did to them. See, we don't do that. We refuse to look back at ancient Israel. And some of the most prophetic, powerful, revelatory truths for America today is to go back and look what God has done to other nations and look what God has done to the church and allow the church to go through tremendous persecution. And he'll do it again. He's doing it again. Why? To perfect us, to refine us, to become who we're supposed to be. And now because you have done all these works, saith the Lord, and I spake unto you, rising up early and speaking, but you heard not. And I called you, but you answered not. Therefore, I will do unto this house, which is called by name, my name, wherein you trust. Watch what he says. You trust what? In the house, not the name. I don't have time. I just don't have time. You trust in a house and not the name. You trust in your denomination. Those that are listening to me, watching to me on radio, or wherever you may be listening and watching. You trust in a church, an organization, that Bishop so-and-so is going to guide you through. You trust that a preacher is going to guide you through when he got his last sermon from Reader's Digest or GQ. You trust in a house, an organization, more than the name of God. Watch this. When you trust unto the place which I gave you and to your fathers, as I have done to Shiloh, and I will cast you out of my sight as I have cast out all your brethren, even the whole seed of Ephraim. What happened to Ephraim? They were destroyed, weren't they? Yes, because of their sin. Therefore, pray not for these people, neither lift up cry nor prayer for them, neither make intercession to them, for I will not hear thee. And finally, in verse 18, which that verse there was very easy to understand, verse 18 says this, the children gather wood, and the fathers kindle the fire, and the women knead the dough, and they make cakes to the queen of heaven, talking about Ishtar, and other names. It just means this, the devil in drag, which has infiltrated the church like sewage, and to pour out drink offerings unto other gods, that they may provoke me to joy and happiness, no, to anger. Verse 21, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, put your burnt offerings unto your sacrifices and eat flesh. And basically he's saying this, he said in the beginning, I didn't tell them to make offerings unto me. I wanted them to obey me. That was the first thing he wanted the children of Israel to do, was to obey. Then sacrifices were brought in. But he says to them, why don't you just take those things and mingle them and eat them yourself? That's what it means, because I'm not going to eat them with you. To be in covenant, you eat a meal together. And God says, I don't need none of that. I need your heart. I need you to be disciplined. See, God doesn't need all of our technology in the church and all of our newfangled this and newfangled that and all the things that we have that we call ourselves so wonderful with and about, and we're so advanced. He needs our heart. He needs our lives. Our system is failing in this nation, and the reason it is because of the Church of Jesus Christ has failed in the system of serving God in holiness and consecration and righteousness. And that is the truth. That's not just a preacher trying to preach holiness. The statistics and life outside prove it. But we can make it right. We can fix it if we just go to the one who can fix everything, and that is the Father, through his Son, by the power of the Holy Ghost. If you're watching me today and your system in life has failed, you don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you don't have to be broken. You can be fixed. He was broken for you, so that you could be fixed. I pray that you would call upon his name today. Repent of your sins. Call upon him and you will be saved. If you're backslidden, you're listening to me, and you know that you need to amend your ways and fix it, do it now. Just find a place wherever you are. Turn it into an altar and say, Lord, here I am. Fix me, because only you can. And I thank you for it.